I was very fortunate to get a Fulbright scholarship to continue this research that I had begun in the United States. And I went to Australia for 5 months to look at how risks in Australia compare to risks in the United States. And one of the studies that we'll look at is that most recent study that was just published from Australia. What got me interested in this is I began my career as a New York City paramedic, and so there was a lot of risks associated with the profession. So a little background, EMS in Australia, there are about 20,000 personnel. Most of them are paramedics. It's now a bachelor's degree requirement to be hired as a paramedic in Australia. About 75% of the workforce are full-time workers, about 25% are volunteers. The volunteers are mostly people who work in small communities around Australia and places that it would not be possible to have an ambulance, but they have people in those communities who are volunteers with the ambulance service. They respond to about 3 million calls a year and also involved in a lot of public health-related activities. Most recently is a more community health type of approach where the paramedics are going to calls, and if they find the patient doesn't need an emergency department, that they go to other places other than the emergency department or refer them for care the next day if that's sufficient. So it's not an automatic thing that the only option they have is to bring people to the emergency room. So it's a very exciting development, I think, for the profession worldwide. So this was just published by the Medical Journal of Australia. We found, using national data, using the same data that's used for other occupations, that there are no occupational group in Australia that had a higher fatality rate than paramedics, and no occupational group in Australia with a higher injury rate than paramedics. Paramedic fatality rate is about 6 times higher than the national average, and the injury rate for paramedics is about twice as high as the injury rate for Australian police officers. So this was a surprise to a lot of people in Australia. I had no sense of, no appreciation for the risks associated with providing emergency medical care. The fatalities were largely transportation related, and this included both ambulance crashes, helicopter crashes, as well as paramedics working on the side of the road and being hit by a car. Benign fatal injuries, much like we see in the United States, lifting is a big part of the problem. Back injuries, falls are also significant. In comparison, in the United States, we have about 1 million providers. Only about 20% of the providers in the United States are full-timers. The vast majority of emergency medical services personnel in the United States volunteers. Very few of them are paramedics. They go on 31 million calls per year in the United States, and also increasingly involved in public health types of initiatives, for example, injury prevention in the community. In one community, the paramedics were involved in a program that cut the pediatric drowning rate for that community by 50%. So more and more in emergency medical services in the United States are recognizing that there are more things that can be done based on their experiences than just responding to emergency calls, and that they can have a significant impact on community health and prevention. When we look at the risks for paramedics in the United States, we found the fatality rate was very similar to the fatality rate for police officers and firefighters, much higher than the national average. When we look at just transportation-related fatalities for emergency medical services personnel, found much higher than the fatality rate for police officers and firefighters, and about 5 times higher than the national average. When we look at injuries, non-fatal injuries, the injury rate for paramedics much higher than the rate for police officers and firefighters, much higher than the national average. And what we're finding primarily is back injuries, lifting injuries are the main cause of non-fatal injuries. And transportation incidents in both countries are the leading cause of fatalities and a cause of a significant number of, especially the more serious, non-fatal injuries. I was the administrator of this ambulance service in New York City. They were responding to a police officer shot, went through a red light. Fortunately, both of them were released from the hospital that night.
In both countries, and in more countries than the two, we're finding that violence is a significant problem for paramedics. In Australia, we have about 10 serious cases, and serious cases are those cases that result in at least a week of lost work time. So it's a pretty serious injury to be out of work for a week. In the United States, we have a dead paramedic a year from homicide. We have 100 serious assaults, and a rate of cases about 6 cases per 1,000 in the United States. London eclipses that completely and reports a rate of 129 cases per 1,000 workers per year. Just this week alone reported 5 assaults against paramedics in London. So a huge problem in London. In Sweden, 80% of the paramedics reported being victims of assault. And in Australia, we're seeing not only a high rate, but the trend seems to be that it's increasing significantly. Finding gender differences is a question about why there might be. All the data that I've had access to all indicates that there's a significant difference by gender or risks for paramedics. And we might expect that if we were looking at back injuries and lifting, that we could say, okay, maybe there's a reasonable relationship there. But we're also seeing it in other areas, for example, in violence. Now, violence against workers is primarily against male workers. Even for police officers, the risk of violence is about 3 times higher for male police officers versus female police officers. Yet what we seem to be seeing with paramedics is almost exactly the opposite. The female paramedics are much more at risk of violence than male paramedics. Why that is a mystery. We don't know. It seems to be a very significant problem. We're also seeing it in transportation-related cases. So it's not only lifting, but in ambulance crashes. And transportation-related injuries. Why that would be is also a mystery. So one of the areas that needs a lot more research is what the risks are by gender and what are some of the reasons for those differences by gender. And why that's so important is if they are as significant as it looks like at the moment, it would imply that our interventions need to be gender-specific. We're also seeing, we've known for years that stress is a huge problem. When I first began working on an ambulance in New York City, the culture was, if there was a train job, you were supposed to go out, pick up the body parts, put them in a bag, and then go for lunch. And if that bothered you, you were in the wrong job. Now we know that if that doesn't bother you, you're probably in the wrong job. That stress is part of this job, and that some of these things are stressful, and it's okay for it to be stressful. But we're starting to recognize that we need to be able to be proactive about stress and what to do with stress. In Australia, they specifically monitor stress claims and found that paramedics have the 6th highest rate of stress in the country. Suicide is potentially a huge problem, but it's been very difficult to quantify. Getting the data has been extremely difficult. But just from my own personal knowledge, these are 2 old friends in New York City, and from talking to other people, it seems to be the rate for suicides may be much, much higher than for other professions. So the injury rate much higher than the national average, fatality, secondary transportation, lifting is a major cause of injuries, assaults are a significant problem. So what do we need to do next? We need partnerships between ambulance services and public health researchers. We need better data collection systems. We need an analysis of the ambulance service data. So one of the challenges that we've had in both countries is getting access to some of those data that are owned by the ambulance. We need to develop interventions, test interventions, and publish those results. Even today, that first study about fatalities I published over 10 years ago, even today, there's only about 6 papers looking at interventions to reduce risks for EMS personnel.
We have problems with data,
no standard terminology in a lot of the databases. And even the terminology that exists is insufficient in that a lot of Bureau of Labor Statistics, for example, data are very good for across-the-board analysis, but we need more specific types of data for occupations such as this. So we need to know what the injury rate is, call volume, and miles driven, and call type. Those are the types of things that are going to be important if we're going to be able to monitor and evaluate interventions.
We also have a lot of untested solutions. So
ambulance services have gone out, for example, and bought bulletproof vests, and they've not done any analysis of what the effect was. And my sense is that if you give a bunch of paramedics bulletproof vests, your assault rate goes up, because now they go into places that they wouldn't have gone into if they didn't have a bulletproof vest. They know there's a person in there that's injured. I hear the gunshots going off, but I have a bulletproof vest. There's a person injured. I have to go save them. So my sense is that that goes up.
And one of the other areas that we need to look at is fatigue. We still see ambulance service advertisements asking for people to come to take jobs that shifts are 72 hours long. We have no sense of the shift durations for much of this and how that relates to injuries. In many cases, there are no breaks. That a person goes out, does a 12-hour shift, and maybe does 15 calls in a 12-hour shift. So a lot of analysis that needs to look at fatigue. So that's it.
Question?
Yes.
Hi, that was a great presentation.
Thank you.
You leave so many open questions.
Yes, there are a lot.
To, you can know where to start.
Sure.
Just very quickly, the company that I work for, the Public Health Institute, has done a lot of work for a long period of time analyzing emergency room admissions and their relationship to alcohol.
Yes.
It's called the Genesis Study. Uh-huh. Tom Greenfield is the principal investigator.
Uh-huh.
I'm not suggesting
yes.
that alcohol is the primary cause of the accident.
Yes.
But given what you said about the stress levels,
right.
the workloads, the amount of time that these emergency medical technicians are facing, I'm wondering if that might be in, you know, at least one place to look for
yes.
What's going on in terms of the road traffic accidents, for example.
Right. So the question about is alcohol a factor? We don't know, and I would broaden that to also drug abuse, that the potential exists there for both of those being a problem. So we know related to stress, for example, that people often have poor ways of dealing with stress. And so alcohol could be a big part of the problem. My gut feeling is that on-duty alcohol use is not a big component. Off-duty alcohol use and then the person coming in the next day and still having effects of the alcohol from the night before absolutely could be a factor. And drug abuse could be a factor as well. We don't know. And those are questions that we need to address, absolutely. Yeah, so I have access, for the gender question, I have access to data in both Australia and the United States, and all the data are indicating that female paramedics are at a much higher risk than male paramedics. Now, we need much better data, and we need to be able to have larger databases that we can do rates by hours worked, for example, in a much more reliable way. But so far, all the data we have indicate that there's a significant difference. It needs to be investigated.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the data that the emergency department
did? Yes. So there's a few different databases. So some of the data are Bureau of Labor Statistics data. Some of the data are agency data. And from Australia, we have national and state data. Yes. We know that the numbers seem to be different, the rates seem to be different. What we don't know is the circumstances of those assaults.
We have one more question in there.
Do you have any way of breaking down where you have a female paramedic injured in a transportation event? Are they typically the driver or the attendant?
that's one of the things we need to know. I'm a pilot, and I know that there's been studies looking at that male and female pilots crash for different reasons. We don't know if male and female paramedics crash for different reasons, or if there's a correlation if the male usually drives and female more often in the back and gets injured in the back. That's absolutely a question that needs to be addressed. Thank you very much.
Great.